are listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, February the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2015. And we have a number of things to say, including thank you to the good people at Emmanuel Lutheran Church who allowed us to have a seminar there. Unfortunately, due to the weather, we didn't have as many people able to attend, and we're making some arrangements to continue that. We'll let you know as those become more fruitful. But I'll tell you what's become fruitful is those of you who are contributing to KFUO, and so we have Joni with us again today with some thank yous.
I am here, Tom, with some thank yous as we continue to receive gifts from our loyal supporters. I'd like to thank Stephen and Carla from Belleville, Landon from Grayville, Illinois, Doris from Florissant, Joe and Robin from Waterloo, Norman from Heber Springs, Arkansas. I guess that's Arkansas.
It's Hebron.
Oh, it's Hebron? Okay, it says Heber here.
Oh, I'm...
Maybe there's a Heber, too.
Yes.
Sandra and Paul from St. Charles. Elaine from Redbud, Illinois. Lloyd and Wanda from St. Louis. Judith and Harvey from Wichita, Kansas. Now, look, that's four states already we've heard from. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Dennis and Bonnie from Godfrey. David and Barbara from St. Louis. Sandra and Stephen from St. Peter's. Catherine from Rosebud, Missouri. Arlene from Tipton, Iowa, another state. Beverly, listen to this one, from Chili, Wisconsin. It's spelled C-H-I-L-I.
Oh, no, I
Chili,
haven't heard
Wisconsin.
Of that. I wonder what the weather's like.
Probably chilly. Bernice and Marvin from St. Louis. Suzanne and Bert from St. Louis. Roy from Godfrey. Irene and Willard from Washington, Missouri. Joyce from Baldwin, Missouri. Ruth from Granite City, Illinois. And then we have some churches here. Holy Cross Lutheran Church from O'Fallon, Missouri. Hope Lutheran Church from Maryville, Missouri. Emmanuel Ladies Aid from Altamont, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran Church from Carrollton, Missouri. As well as Elizabeth and Lyle from Savannah, Missouri. Joan from House Springs. Lester from Green Valley, Arizona. Ray from Florissant. Melvina and Alvin from Arnold. Terrence from, listen, Chestermere, Alberta, Canada.
Mm.
A gift from out of the country. Dorothy from St. Anne. Judith from Edwardsville. And Cheryl and Mark from Indianapolis, Indiana. So I think that was about 10 states from plus one from Canada. Again, we thank all of our supporters. You help us to stay on the air. You help us to continue to proclaim the gospel message around the world. We thank you for your financial support and for your prayers. And we ask you to continue to support KFUO. We will be having... at the end of April, it's April 23rd, 24th, 25th, our Share-a-thon again this year. Mm. And we hope that a lot of our supporters will continue to support us through the Share-a-thon, helping us to continue to stay on the air. We've been on the air for 90 years through God's blessings, and we ask that we might be able to continue to share that message.
I haven't been on the air that long.
You have, Tom?
No, I have not. I've just been 18 years.
Oh, I see.
I noticed that they're not only people, but groups from congregations,
yes.
Like a Ladies' Aid. So how do they go about doing that?
Usually with the Ladies' Aid, they will just send us in a gift, you know, whatever. You know, sometimes Ladies' Aid groups are looking for mission opportunities to share their monies, and they'll do that. But there are churches that occasionally will do a sponsor, a Church of the Week on KFUO, and that they can call us here at KFUO. We give them spots on the air. The pastor does a devotion. They are able to have a half-hour interview on the air. And that's a certain, that usually costs a certain amount of money. They call us, and we have a number of churches that sponsor us like that. They can call me, Joni Harwell, at 314-996-1512, or Mary Schmidt at 996-1518. Mary and I both work with this. We love to talk to our listeners and our donors, and we're just grateful for them.
Now, occasionally a congregation will have a mission festival or something. Does Pastors Ronister or others actually go to a congregation?
Oh, yes. If someone would like someone to come out and speak at their congregation, we would be happy to send a representative from KFUO.
Yeah, I'm always speaking about KFUO when I go out around and such, but I don't take contributions specifically.
Right.
But Pastors Ronister is somebody definitely. And would they contact you about that?
They also can contact me and Mary about that as well, or Mary and I. Better correct my English there.
Mary's looking pretty good today.
Yes, Mary's not here yet, but that's okay. She'll be here soon. We, as you said, with the weather, it hasn't been too good around here.
No, I know. I found that out Saturday. Well, thank you very much.
And thanks, Tom, for letting us share some time.
You're welcome to come anytime.
Thank you.
All righty. Today we're going to be taking a look at a passage for the second Sunday in Lent that says that we should rejoice in our sufferings. What does that mean? How does one rejoice in our sufferings? Well, the way you understand a passage in the Bible, you always need to look at the context. It's really not that when you suffer, you should say, oh boy, this is wonderful. I'm rejoicing in it. What it's talking about is we rejoice in our sufferings because of the consequences, what happens due to suffering. I was most happy to see those who were able to attend the seminar at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet. We had a number of people attend, and we promised them, as many of them asked, are you going to be doing this again? Yes, we will. We'll be announcing it probably during the next week or so, and it will be different, though. I only used about 10% of the videos that I have, and I'm continually making more ones. So I appreciate those who were able to attend, and I really enjoy doing the preaching on Saturday as well as on Sunday. If at all you would like to support Law and Gospel, because we do pay KFUO for being on the air now, then you can contact me or go through the email at this point, lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com, and indicate that you would like to donate towards Law and Gospel, and we'll phone you back. You can also go directly to our website, lawandgospel101.com. And on the front page are four items. The bottom one is how you can donate to Law and Gospel, and so we can meet our financial obligations to KFUO. So, suffering, we're to rejoice in. Well, we need to read the context. This is in Romans 5. Now, before Paul says we rejoice in sufferings, he makes a big point. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now notice that word hope. Hope means that regardless of what is happening to you, you can have sure hope because you are rejoicing in the glory of God. And what does that mean? The glory of God in the Bible almost always refers to his presence. So, God is present with you at all times. Nothing happens in your life as a Christian that God does not work out to your good. That's Romans 8:28. So, in light of that, Paul continues, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Now, let me give you an analogy how that works. In the state of Missouri, you have to take your car in either once a year or twice a year to check things out. And I rarely take the vehicle in without them finding something. For example, boy, your tires are just about bald and you need new tires. Or, your brakes are just about ready to go out. Now, that is suffering because one needs to somehow pay for those repairs. But with new tires on, what a difference it will make in your safety. So even though, I tell you, repairs are always suffering, God produces ways in which he always has good consequences coming from that suffering. For example, not long ago, our hot water heater went out. And we tried to light it, and we were unable to do so. We had short matches. So we went to Lowe's. Guess how much a hot water heater is? $900. Even if you only buy a $500 hot water heater, because the installation is money, and now they also have inspections, and there's some new gadgets you have to have on certain hot water heaters to make sure there's not an explosion. Well, what are we going to do? So we first bought one of those, it does a flame at the end of it when you press the trigger, and it was real long. And by God's grace, when we used that instead of these short matches we were using, the hot water flame came on, the pilot. And guess what? We didn't have to get and pay for a new hot water heater. I can give you example after example in lives where God works things out in ways. So we're always positive. No matter what kind of suffering we are under, we know it will produce endurance. That will produce character. And character produces hope. And what is hope? Trust in the promise of God that he will take care of you. Now, this also includes even when you're at fault. Maybe you've done something, and therefore you have a consequence that is negative. Don't worry about it. I mean, you should try and solve any consequences. But on the other hand, God is still with you. I can't tell you how many members of the congregation I had, and a number of them were on welfare, who didn't have enough money to pay their utility bills. And lo and behold, the utility company has a way in which you can apply, and if you don't have the money, they'll pay towards your utility bills. There were so many times that occurred. And so God does have ways to help us through our problems, even when we're the result of our problems. And who isn't? Because we're all sinners. Now, I decided, because I wanted to know what was the non-Lutheran view about suffering. And so, where do I go? Well, I go to the internet. And what I came up across was a essay by Joyce Meyer Ministries. You know, she's a woman that has a lot of people come and listen to her. And here's what she is saying about why we often suffer. Once we know the Word of God, we have a responsibility to be obedient to it. Too many of us intend to be obedient, but put it off. Even procrastination is disobedience, and it can cause us to suffer. When God tells me to do something, I find it helpful to write it down. This serves as a reminder that I must be obedient if I want God's blessings. Wow. Did you hear that? You must be obedient if you want God's blessings. So suffering is really, from her point of view, something that happens when you're disobedient. Oh, really? The Apostle Paul was whipped, imprisoned, at times without friends. Is that because of his disobedience? He's the one that glories in his sufferings to just get a little taste of what Jesus went through for him. He rejoices in those sufferings because he knows that many people see the faith he has. In fact, the soldier that was guarding him seemed to have come to faith because he kept hearing these wonderful words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This whole idea that you can take a look at your experience and when you aren't getting blessings, then you jump to the conclusion, that's because I'm disobedient. Well, what parent would do that? I mean, God is worse than a normal parent. A normal parent, yes, the children at times are disobedient. But does a parent kick the children out of the house? Oh, they may discipline them, but they don't starve them to death. They don't make them sleep on the floor. They don't make them walk to school so they're late all the time. No, they continue to drive them. In other words, if you take a look at Hebrews 12, discipline is actually a blessing to children, putting down their old Adam. I mean, the more times you do something wrong, and it's kind of fun watching our grandchildren. We were all with them yesterday. And the parents were always, you know, encouraging them not to get hurt. For example, they were playing hide and seek, and then they would run up the stairs. And a couple of them can get up the stairs, but they can't get down. So they could fall. And so a rule was made that you're not supposed to be running up and down the stairs because it was dangerous for the little one. So I'm sure they didn't appreciate that because they lost a lot of their hiding place, but it was for their good. And therefore, it was a blessing to them. As I said in the seminar on Saturday, I can't think of one time in my life that God didn't bless me. Yes, and I am talking about the death of my parents, the death of a son who was killed in a motorcycle accident, illnesses I went through, surgery I went through. Well, when you understand that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and you're faced with sufferings or whatever, it provides an opportunity to see, now how can I make best use of the Word of God? And there's always a way to do that. You know, Martin Luther talked about this at all, quite a bit, in his Heidelberg Disputation. He wrote that in April of 1518. Here's one of the things he says. The person who believes that he can obtain grace by doing what is in him adds sin to sin so that he becomes doubly guilty. What kind of analogy can I share with you to help you understand what Luther is saying here? Let's say a child has an abusive parent. Maybe the parent is an alcoholic. The child doesn't like coming home from school. But when he does come home and the parent is at home, he wants to obey the parent as best as he is able to do so. Not out of love for the parent, but out of fear for the parent. If you do that towards God, if you heap your good works together and hand them to God, well, what you're really telling God the Father is that the death of Jesus Christ, his sufferings, were not enough to take care of my relationship to you. You see, if you do what is in you, you can only do a self-centered work. I gave this example in the sermon yesterday. Two people give gifts. Now, one would think that's very nice to give gifts. But the one person gives gifts to his boss because he wants a promotion. And so self-centeredness is his problem. The other person comes along and gives gifts, say, to his wife, because of the great relationship they have in a marriage. That can be Christ-motivated. God doesn't look at works by what is done. He's always looking for the inward motivation. And if you are not a Christian, it is impossible to do a good work that is not out of self-interest. It's the word agape versus phileia. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, that's from the Greek word. And it means that you kind of love somebody who's related to you. Somebody comes to the door and they need money. You're going to tend to give it to your brother. You won't give it to a stranger. Well, that's not the kind of love God has towards you. His love is agape. And that means that he's willing to sacrifice himself for you, even when you're disobedient. This idea that you're going through sufferings, it's just really very sad. during our first worship service at Emmanuel yesterday, I was all set to preach, and one of the gentlemen came both to the pastor and myself, Pastor Carrick, and said there was a medical emergency in the pew, and one of the ladies, her name was Catherine, had a fainting spell. And so Pastor Carr told me, let's just sit and wait until the ambulance attendants were completed with her and they had wheeled her out before I begin the sermon. So we sat there. He had a wonderful prayer for her. And then the organist began some music. Now, it was only 3 or 4 minutes. But at the end of that, then I did the sermon. And I used that example to say, well, what did Catherine do wrong? God had promised that when we come to worship, we're going to be blessed. But she came to worship, and even before the sermon was able to begin, guess what? She had to be taken out of the sanctuary. What, was God punishing her for something? And I made the point that, no, you cannot look at your experience to see how God relates to you. Look to the Word of God. Well, one can imagine the disciples, when they saw their Savior dying on a cross, they thought he had become a failure because they were looking with their eyes, not a faith, but their natural eyes. And if they had only understood the Old Testament promises, they would have realized, according to Psalm 22, pierced in hands and feet, Isaiah 53, whipped for our sins, that this was the prophecy being fulfilled. Faith changes everything. And what is faith? Faith is believing the promises of the gospel. And when you have the promises of the gospel, we can rejoice in our sufferings because God is an individual who will always work things out to our good. Romans 8:28 or 1 Corinthians 13, he'll never give us more than we can handle. At times he will provide a way of escape. God the Father is a perfect parent because of what his Son has done for you. When you're a member of the family of God, when you're a child of God, then you will not be tempted by God. Even if you're an unbeliever, you won't be tempted by God because he tempts no one. But as Paul says, while we were still weak, in other words, we didn't have any relationship with God, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die just for the elect. He died for the whole world. And Paul uses his own analogy. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now you have to understand this. When you were an unbeliever, when you were a sinner, Christ died for you, which makes sense then out of the next verse 9. Since therefore we now have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And the word saved there doesn't just refer to eternal salvation after judgment day. It's also a word used for healing, that whatever is happening in your life, whatever suffering you're enduring, whatever temptation, God will be working that out for your good. And then he even continues with verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received a reconciliation. Now, isn't that interesting? When you were God's enemies, he died for you. God is reconciled to you. You don't have to appease his wrath. No, you don't have to placate his wrath. Why? Because God is keeping his promises. My definition of a blessing, and that's why I've said that nothing that's happened in my life doesn't turn out or is a blessing, because God keeps his promises. That's why for the believer in Christ, everything is a blessing. So we may not rejoice in the specific suffering, but we will rejoice in the promises of God of how he's going to produce endurance in us, produce character, and produce hope, which is truly trusting the word of God. That's something that we find. And it's also something that we talked about to the smaller crowd that showed up at Emmanuel. I know a number of you phoned and apologized for not being able to come, but we'll be having it again. We'll let more of you know about it. It's going to be different than the one on Saturday. It had new videos. And again, a part of the goal is to raise funds to help support KFUO. So we'll let you know about that on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. Boy, the hymn says, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. Well, Mark Smith and I are going to talk about how can we sing that when we're such sinners. It's on tomorrow's Law and Gospel. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.